a very important question.
Yes.
What happens if I finish my beer during the show?
Then, you get another beer.
That's right. We'll even wait for you.
Should we just bring some spares out?
Like, except they'll get warm because this place is 100 degrees. Yeah. No, we'll make room for it. You've heard our show. Hello, and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast. This is a place where we simplify the good life. My name is Brock Dennis.
And I'm Aaron Flores. Still not really broadcasting, but kind of broadcasting.
Are you narrowcasting?
Okay. Extra wide broadcasting. Extra
weather
large
band.
Casting.
With from the People's Republic of Portland.
Nestled in the heart of Cascadia. Is that your way of saying, like, get on with it?
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the very best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, S&M 100 miles.
Yes. the abuse of one's body.
Just leave that silent there.
We are here with, hello, Maria Schur.
Hello.
It's good to see you on the show again.
Thank you. It's nice
Your
to be seen.
Your makeup is lovely. And David Robinson.
Hey.
Also good to see you on the show again.
How's my makeup?
It's great.
Yeah. Very Peter Criss-like.
As all of our watchers can tell. it's good to have you both here. We have you both in studio because you both did an amazing thing. Each of you did an amazing thing, and the thing that each of you did is related to the thing the other person did. So we're going to talk
Wait,
about
how
that.
How did that go?
That sounds really sexy. How can I get in on that?
Well, first of all, you get on a bike and you ride 1,000 miles. You folks both participated in the Steams Mazama 1,000, which 1, was
miles.
By maybe some people's
I
reckoning.
I forgot a zero in there.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, that's right. Okay, I didn't even catch that.
Oh, really?
1,000 miles. Yes.
Let's go back and do that again.
Okay, ready?
S&M, 1,000 miles.
Hello, Maria Schur.
Hello.
Hello, David Rats.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jackass Hour. Okay, so. Not you.
Hi, us. I'm Brock Dennis. Welcome to.
Is somebody going to snort wasabi now?
I would imagine right. So.
We're all going to get paper cuts in the webbing of our fingers. Yeah.
And then a naked small person is going to run by.
Right. I'd rather go on a 1,000-mile bike ride.
Right, exactly, and that's our point. That's exactly why we brought both of you here, is to talk about riding 1,000 miles through nearly insurmountable odds. So, we're going to get to that in just a minute. First of all, Aaron.
Yes.
I only bring this up because you and I have both been driving cars recently.
We've been doing some driving.
Yes.
And not just on a regular driving job.
No, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, they're sellouts, and they're like, yeah, I thought you were a carless person, man. And then there's other people who are like, what's the big deal? So
right.
We're speaking to everybody.
Brought to you by Ford.
That's right. Leaders in innovation. Bicycles for the future. Have you heard about this? Ford's actually making like bicycles. That's their thing.
Really?
Yeah, they want to make e-bikes for people that make you feel younger than you are. At least that was an unnamed podcast company that I had listened to the shows of. They have a Ford spot that they do on a regular basis, and then one of the ones was, hey, we're making e-bikes. So,
interesting.
Yeah, they know that their days are numbered after their days were already over.
Is that like the self-driving bike joke that's been going around?
That's a good question. I like this, and I don't like this, but it's funny.
Yeah.
No, what I'm talking about is the addictive nature of driving, because I had this trip I wanted to take up to Tacoma. My sister turned 30 this last weekend, so she was throwing a party. And I said, why don't I go up and hang out with you, little sister? And so I did. But it turns out I didn't have enough time to do everything I wanted to do in the weekend, because we also had Pyathon this last week,
right,
which if anybody missed that, you can listen to the episode. I posted it yesterday. Pyathon 2016, the Sprocket Podcast, were featured performers.
MC?
MCs, yeah, yeah. We told people what was going on.
Yeah,
yeah. So I put together a little nice half hour episode, including our chat with Jin Mari from Violin Secrets, and also a little bit of our announcement kerfuffle, our just us kind of being who we are on
yes.
stage. So we did that, and it was fun. Also, a bunch of listeners showed up, including Aqua, who we had not met in person before.
No,
now we have. So that's cool. Yeah, and Armando was there. And should I just keep on naming people? But all these people that we love. Eric Iverson was there. And a bunch of other people that
and
we
Mark.
Love. And Mark.
We invited him up on
That's right. Mark got on stage for 2 minutes. So, yeah. But anyways, that was the thing that I did this weekend. I had to be everywhere this weekend. I had planned myself in, to such a degree that I could not do everything I wanted to do with a bicycle. And so I got this car. And the car, obviously, like going to Tacoma and back again, that's a 300-mile trip. And so that was a thing I should do in a car. But then I realized having the car, I also wanted to do all my errands in the car. And so I started driving around town and hauling things. And some of these were errands where, like, the lady I borrowed the car from, it's our friend Melissa. And she said, hey, I'll lend you my car because I'm out of town, but can you help me with my bike? And so part of it was throwing the bike in the car to take it over to Aaron Delaney's house to have him look at it, because he was a bikey friend I knew who was free, who could look at some of the things and be like, hey, what do you think needs to happen to this bike? Because she didn't know. She was worried. We got it fixed. But after that, a lot of other driving. As I was mentioning before we rolled tape, I bought a bunch of Viso energy drink today. Well, yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So, but just like the simple magic of turning the key in the ignition and saying, I could do this again. And then you do.
It's
and you
really
turn the key again. And you're like, I'm going to drive here now. And now I'm going to go over here. I'm going to do all this stuff. And I'm not conflicted in, like, I feel okay. Because I don't own a car. And my goal of, like, having a low car life, I think, is probably pretty secure. But it was amazing to me when I tasted the forbidden fruit. Stepping into the car, sitting down and turning on the car. And just, like, effortlessly sailing wherever I wanted to go. It was amazing. So have you experienced that?
I have not.
Okay.
I'm waiting for all these good feelings to finish up so I can
so you're just driving.
Go on my like little hate rant here.
Are you driving in guilt then?
I don't know. I don't feel guilty for driving.
Okay.
But I can't say I really love the experience. In fact, I would say I kind of don't like it very much.
Okay.
And I don't like what it does to me.
How do you like your job?
I like my job.
Okay, good.
Yeah, no.
Because you drive
it's a different
for a living.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
Uh-huh.
And
but self-locomotion.
And I think maybe there is some guilt attached to this, and it comes out in this way of, like, you know, I externalize it on other people.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Yes.
You know, everybody thinks they're a safe driver.
Right.
But nobody's really a safe driver.
Well, right.
And just like you see a lot as somebody who drives like a bus around town, and for some reason it doesn't bother me as much when I'm driving the bus.
Uh-huh.
But as I was like driving this Prius, every little thing got to me.
Ah, like, you were irritable.
Yes.
Like irritation
the slightest,
increased
the
by
slightest
car.
Like veering into my lane or. Or
Step
you know
back.
This? Yeah, I don't
it's
know.
MySpace.
Worthless
yeah.
piece of
or
shit.
Or like right. people getting mad at me because, like, oh, I stopped for a pedestrian.
Uh huh.
You know
what? They have
but,
the
right
of way.
Right. Yeah. But in the meantime, God forbid I obey the law.
I know, right?
But in the meantime, I haven't ridden my bike either in like 3-4 days.
Yeah.
I've been. So as much as I hate, quote unquote, hate this experience, I haven't really like gotten away from it either.
Right. And I've been off the bike since, well, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I was three days off.
Yeah. Then, so maybe you're more nostalgic
today.
About it than I am.
Maybe so. I'm nostalgic about my guilt. Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I've been dealing with this sort of low grade road rage that comes out.
Okay.
Like, it's not like I'm rolling down my window or like pulling anyone out of their car.
Low
anything.
Grade. You just yell
but
inside the sealed
yes,
car.
Yes. Okay. I just kind of mumble to myself uh-huh. and like, you know, occasionally yell.
right.
And I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like what that did to me. And
uh-huh.
I don't know. Maybe some of it is head trauma as well. Like
right.
maybe it's like left over from last week's
from
fall.
Hitting your head on the ground.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But
are you feeling okay largely?
For the
you
most
seem
part.
Okay.
Today, honestly, today was like the first headache-free day, kind
oh.
of. Like oh. I still like, yeah, no, I've had like blinding headaches all
I
week.
I did not realize this.
Well,
okay.
I you know I didn't want to like you know, make a thing of it. But
this is where I should say, like, if anyone else has experienced something similar, they should check with their medical professional.
Yes.
We don't know the best way to approach this situation, but a medical professional would. So
don't follow my example by any means.
Drink more whiskey.
David Robinson, also not a medical professional. Although that's what a medical professional would have told you years back.
That's right.
You know a place where you can avoid splitting headaches and blinding road rage?
I think I know a place.
Where?
It would be on the corner.
The corner of
12th and Division.
Ooh. What's
or
there?
The intersection of 12th and Division. And that would be the Beer Mongers.
The Beer Mongers, Southeast Division at 12.
Where there's always a seat for you.
That's right. Even if you have been suffering from a headache and blinding road rage, you can escape that for a small time. Yeah, and you know, if you ride your bike there, you'll feel even better. So here we've just all I noticed us all raising open beers in honor of these folks.
A silent tribute on a radio show.
That's right. Yeah. No, we are totally into this. Yes. Well, this being radio, then let me spill some for my homies.
And there it goes.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't do it.
Don't worry, Aaron. We're keeping your garage clean.
Garage is clean, yeah. You're enjoying the kombucha as yet, I see.
Yes.
Yes.
I've got this whole jug. It's kind of flat, so I feel like I got to finish it tonight.
Oh, you're going to be loopy by the end of the show. That's going to be good.
I'm going to get all shades of probiotic up in here.
Oh, I'm curious for both of you, David and Maria. Have you experienced similar, the addictive nature of the convenience of a car?
As a matter of fact,
yes,
I rented a car 2 days ago.
Oh, yeah. And so, you don't own one, right?
I do not own a car.
Yeah, okay.
I do not care to own a car.
Right.
I really...
You're our hero.
I loathe cars like many of my Cascadian peers.
Uh-huh.
In any case, I'm having a little after medical help from the... Steensma-Sama 1000, which I'd like to shortcut as the SM1K.
SM1K. Okay, we've got a thing for it
like
now.
That.
So after the SM1K, I have a lot of body parts doing a lot of weird things.
Uh-huh.
And so I need to go to the doctor and do a bunch of stuff. So I rented a car. And immediately upon entering the car, I am pissed off at all humankind.
Oh, so this is what Aaron was describing.
I really...
But you didn't experience any head trauma.
Not yet, no.
So we can't blame it on that.
No, I think it's the nature of being in a closed vehicle, and it's the nature of the infrastructure. All you're doing is you're starting up this really expensive thing to go wait in line.
So you drive a shitty car.
Like, maybe.
It's my car got I own a Subaru, and it got totaled, you know, just cosmetic damage last summer from like just. And I just never replaced the driver door, so it's all mashed in. I have no side view mirrors, unless that's illegal, in which case I totally have those.
That's right. Let's just go with that.
Yeah. And I've done no miles like this year, but, you know, drove for a few days after getting back from SM1K, just so I could, like, feel my feet again and shit.
But right.
Then, the last day I was driving, and, like, I'm coming home from work, and it died on the Ross Island Bridge. It's just because it's been sitting long enough that the battery terminals are all corroded.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
So it's just like I had no power, no lights, nothing, like rolling down the Ross Island. Everyone's honking, and I'm just like, fuck it. I'm going this way. I'm like trying to start it again.
Trying to pedal harder.
the pedal. Doing the Flintstone.
There are pedals right here, but they're not working. And then, like, you have to change lanes without any blinkers. Like,
right.
Because you have no electricity.
No electricity at all. And then, like...
Wait, does it have electric windows?
Well, yeah, but I can't do the driver window because the door is mashed in.
Because the door is mashed in.
So no hand signals.
You have to, like, lean over into the passenger side.
I'm just, like, I'm trying to find, like, where the... Like, there's some shitty aftermarket alarm in there that I'm trying to figure where the button is and see if that helps. Make the lane change, don't kill anybody, and then, like, I just have to turn onto 7th. And about this time I realize, oh, I have no power steering or brakes.
Oh, right.
I'm pulling in. It's like, there's two parking spaces in a row and managed to get into them and stop in enough time.
Good for you.
But yeah, that was my car experience.
There you go.
But yeah, you're driving a piece of shit car and people do stupid things, you just go, you suck. But
yeah.
It's not like, oh, you're ruining my life.
So for you, not so much road rage, it's just like sheer terror when the beast fails to function.
Well, you know, there's that, and there's also, you know, you see people being idiots, but it's the same reaction as other people being idiots. It's actually even less than when you see somebody doing something stupid from a bike.
Okay.
There it's like, you might kill me. Here it's like, I mean, you might dent it. Oh,
you
no.
You might dent my dented car.
So, right. Speaking of idiots and dents, back to my car experience for a second. Yeah. No, don't be sorry. So it turns out when you're stopped at the red light, that's right. Let me just repeat that.
Stopped at a red light?
Stopped at a red light.
Inconceivable.
Why would you stop?
There's a car in front of me, mostly.
We're kidding, so, people. We're kidding. Send the angry emails now.
If you let your foot off of the brake, even for a split second, the car will lurch forward and collide with that car in front of you.
If it's an automatic.
And now it becomes a giant thing where you're pulling over and double parking in a bike lane.
Yep.
Which is not. It's immoral. It's wrong in every way. It's very upsetting.
And somebody knocks on your window on a bike. Or is that just me?
No, I was standing over on the curb with putting my hand over my face. I didn't want to get recognized. There's a little dime-sized dent in the lady's bumper. I'm very apologetic. Are you okay? Blah, blah, blah. She's fine. We go look at the damage, which damage is too big of a word for what it was.
Sure.
And so now we're going to have to go and explore insurance and this and that so that this bumper can be torn off the car and put in a landfill and a new one can be put on.
With no dimple.
And obviously, like, I couldn't help but compare it. Let's say I rear-ended Aaron, a little bike-on-bike crash.
Uh-huh.
We would have duked it out, sorted it out, been friends. Like, there's no
Is
big
your wheel
deal.
Still true? Are you okay? All right.
Yeah,
you good?
Exactly.
You good.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but now we're getting two. We got the double parking in the bike lane. We're endangering other people. We've got two insurance companies involved. There's some auto shop somewhere. That's end rant. Thank you for listening.
Legally splayed across all this territory.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's the one day I've driven a car in, I don't know, 6 months.
So that was enough to keep you off of it.
Yeah.
Okay. I wish I'd had a bad trip like that because I had a good trip. So
the moral of the story here is that automatic transmissions are bad.
Also, just fuck cars. Can I just say that?
There we go.
Thank you.
Well, I think that was kind of what I was working my way around to. So I'm glad you said it. Okay. Well, at least we've got that whole experience. I'd love to hear listeners, their own experiences of, some sort of like post-religious guilt with cars or whatever form that takes. I'd love to hear that. So, thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. But we're here to talk about the Steen's Mazama 1000.
Mazama?
Was it Mazama? I'm a bad pronouncer.
Actually, I don't know. I've always said Mazama, but I don't know if that's actually right.
It's not even a mountain. You guys know that. It doesn't even exist anymore.
Yeah, it's a lake now.
Yeah. it's just a thing that, I mean, it was not that hard to ride up.
Hypothetical mountains.
What are you talking about?
We'll get to that in a minute. But let's overview the Steen's Mazama 1000. Otherwise known as the Steen's Mazama 1000. Otherwise known as
SM1K.
SM1K, yeah.
Big dumb bike ride.
There we go. I feel like if I was from New Jersey, I would say what? Steen's Mazama?
Mazama.
Or something like that.
Mazammer.
Mazammer. There we go. All right. We got, yes. Can we offend any more demographics? Let's keep going. The Steen's Mazama 1K. So the overview, how do you guys describe what you did?
Big loop, start end in Portland. See most of Oregon, high places, middle of nowhere, hooray.
There we go. Free association. And Maria?
I would like to mention Nathan Jones.
Yes.
Yes.
Nathan? If people out there in the world have not heard of Nathan Jones.
Nathan motherfucking Jones.
I recommend that you hear of him and ride bikes with him, behind him, in front of him, alongside him, any way you can.
That's right.
This dude does it all.
He shows up in our headlines this week, by the way.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
He is just a phenomenal bike fun spreader, and he's the inventor of the Steen's Mazama 1000.
And this is the first year that's happened, right?
The inaugural.
This is the inaugural, and I would totally second David's description. I might add that it started and ended not just in Portland, but at the Tillicum Bridge.
Tillicum Bridge, which is our newest carless bridge.
And in my opinion, anything that starts and ends at the Tillicum Bridge just can't be that hard.
Right.
So
exactly. That's a good assumption to carry forward through the event.
So 1,000 miles, mostly paved.
Yeah.
Although there were 140 very gravelly, very washboardy.
Oh, that's right.
All at one time?
Miles.
Or like
Pretty much.
140 total spread across.
You're the one who actually planned out and figured out where the gravel was beforehand.
They're pretty close together. It was from French Glen up to the top of Steens. That's 25 miles. Back down. Also 25.
Yeah. Steens Mountain is the southeast corner of Oregon. It's like, in a car, it's 8 hours from anything.
And I've actually learned that the locals call it the Steens.
The Steens.
Not just Steens.
And you capitalize the. It's the Steens.
Nice.
It's that big of a mountain. It gets a the in front of it.
Right. And there's not that many mountains out there. There's like some undulation. There's some ups and downs in the geography out there. But it's the highest peak that exists, I think, in that part of the state. So.
And that was part of Nathan's vision, is the two highest points in the state that you can ride a bicycle to.
The highest, right. highest roads, yeah.
There we go. Okay. Nice. So this is 1,000 miles. Do you know the total elevation for anybody who's an elevation nerd out there?
About 50.
50,000.
Just under, yeah. 50,000
feet.
Yeah, so like Everest and a half.
So that's like, what? That's like 10 Day
Everest
Ronds.
And a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, Durand was like 7 or 8.
Oh, in that case, okay, not quite 10 Durand.
Yeah.
But yes, but the long distance factor probably makes up for that.
Yeah.
I'm going to call it 10 Durands. Durand, of course, is the local Portland hill climbing torture fest. But this is one that's spread across the state. So.
Oh, another thing that's important to add is that this is self-supported.
Yes.
You don't have a van and a crew.
No chase crew.
You're not meeting people out there who are you have all these planned helpers. Mm-hmm. It's you're on your own. You're carrying your stuff. Everybody gets to decide what stuff means. You know, and I'm sure we'll get into David's definition of stuff versus my definition of stuff.
Well, that's actually the next thing I was going to ask you about. But
was there a large disparity between the two of you?
Yeah,
for sure.
Oh yeah,
we Maria and I took very different strategies.
Right,
but we both won.
Yeah,
and. By win, I mean lived.
Right.
Right. And that's kind of how you define success.
I was going to say, when you're talking about like self-supported, out in the middle of nowhere, you're responsible for your own stuff. Like, yeah, anybody who returns doing the whole thing has won, you know?
Yeah.
And it's worth mentioning just that Nathan Jones, who also pioneered the Transamerica race, that was the you can ride the transcontinental route from adventure cycling,
yeah.
Or more or less. You ride from coast to coast.
Yeah.
On American continent and go from West Coast to East Coast and see like how fast can you do it without any help from anybody, and not without any help from anybody, but like no chase cars,
there's such a thing as trail magic that I learned a lot about, and so this is spontaneous, lucky offerings from kind strangers
see what you're doing and they're like, hey, you need some water or you could use some food or whatever.
Precisely.
What did either of you experience trail magic?
I got 2 liters. Maria's got a better story than I do, but I got 2 liters of water from a guy in a truck.
Nice.
In Brothers.
Brothers.
That's sweet.
Notably waterless stretch.
It's the ironically named Oasis rest area, which does not have any water available.
Okay. What? Yeah.
And was closed when I got there.
This is from Bend, Oregon to Burns, Oregon. Right about the middle is Brothers-ish.
Yeah, middle-ish. Yeah.
So this is like a 250-mile stretch?
I don't think it's quite that. Like base of Steens, like French Glen, was about 400 I don't know. Something
okay,
like that. Yeah.
It's a long stretch. Yep. It's like a day's ride, and you're doing like a century a day or something.
Yeah,
if not more.
Yeah,
but so you've rode 100 miles, then you end up at a place that is called an oasis that has no water. So a guy gave you some water when you were there.
Right.
Okay.
Turns out there was water across the road behind the school. Uh-huh. Mike Hernandez found that and told me later.
There's no evident water.
Yeah, I mean, you have to go looking for it.
Right. But, okay. Yeah. Nice. Well, that's good magic because that's the sort of thing that you needed at that time.
Water does come in kind of handy.
Life sustaining.
When you're out in the desert, yeah.
Right.
So and, there was a little spot beyond Brothers, and I forgot the name of that.
Hamilton or Hampton?
Something with an H. Yeah. And this was also a big store that was closed. I'm out of water, and I'm really thirsty, and you start looking at the side of buildings, any
like
little
who
spigot.
Has a, yeah.
And a man comes out from what looks like an abandoned gas station old building. And he comes out and he helps me fill my water bottle. And then he says, you know, I was on bike tour myself when I stopped at this very spot.
Really?
What?
And I swear to God. And he looked, not quite fit. I don't want to judge people on their appearance, but he did not look like he necessarily had just hopped off the bike.
He was not in shape at this point.
And so I thought he was going to say, you know, and that was 20 years ago, and that's how I came to live here in Hampton.
Right.
So it was 3 weeks prior.
Really?
And he is now working for them and pumping gas. He had a bunch of flat tires and got discouraged and just
stayed.
I'm going to get a job here. Wow.
Fuck it. I'm over Hampton now. All right.
That's a fascinating story. That's
so great. There you have it.
So just beware, anyone who's considering a long distance tour, this could happen to you.
Don't stop for too long. It's dangerous.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. We admire all the professions, whatever it is you like to do for money. But
petroleum, you know, distribution is a noble and ancient art.
That's right. Yeah, it's been going on for a long time. But it's just that's not what most people don't plan to end their tour that way. But and that's going to be
might be the first time that's ever happened.
It'd be a gas station attendant in a state with a mandate that requires gas station attendants
in the middle of fucking nowhere.
I mean, it is the capital of gas station pumping, I think.
Yeah.
Beats out New Jersey, pretty really? Sure.
New Jersey's got the turnpike, though.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
You got to go through Jersey to get to a lot of places.
Fast food restaurants in the middle of a freeway.
You get to Jersey and three things happen. It starts raining, you got to pay a toll, and you get stuck in traffic every single time.
That sounds surprisingly like Oregon right now, but yes.
Except for the toll. We don't have one yet.
Ellie Tallheimer needs to write that book. Cycling Sojourner, New Jersey. But we digress. So Steen's Mazama. SM1K.
Steen's pajamas.
Steve's pajamas.
What were your
Nate Jones
pajamas?
And I were actually just making up dumb jokes up Sanium Pass. What was it? The Stones Montana.
Cute.
That's the sort of that's like the sense of humor you develop over the course of that sort of adventure, right?
It was a shitty time. It was dark.
Yeah.
Going up a fucking mountain in pouring rain.
Right.
On
right.
Day one.
So. Tell me a little bit, because this is a summertime event, but there was some pretty heavy rain, and both of you experienced that, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think David experienced it more than I did, because I do this thing every evening. I call it sleeping.
What the
fuck? It's a novel concept.
I know.
Yeah.
Does this also play into the disparity of like stuff that you guys brought as well?
For sure.
See, Marie likes to sleep outside and be warm and stuff. I just didn't feel like bringing stuff.
Okay.
So the entirety of my sleep outside kit was all the clothes that I had with me and a nylon bivy sack.
And that
so
was
kit
it.
Kit may even be a misleading word.
Yeah, it was a Pertex little tube that I could sleep in. It was great for sleeping in post offices and stuff.
Yeah. Not super warm.
No, you could sleep for about an hour or two if you were really, really exhausted on the side of the road.
Okay.
And then you'd wake up and have to start riding again to, you know, feel like a human.
So that was your style, was just like go until you can't go anymore and then sleep in a bivy sack.
Yeah, for the first, I ran that. Yeah, basically.
Okay.
I mean, I backed off at a little bit at a few places and started like taking real sleeps at various points.
Right.
But some of those real sleeps were like, I'm just going to crash this hotel lobby for the night. I wonder if they'll mind if I take the couch cushions or the love seat cushions off and put them on the floor.
That was my favorite post from social media from your adventure, by the way. And I think I saw that I had just made it through something. No, there was another disastrous thing that happened to me, I think, when it rained as well. But that's a different podcast. I was reading your adventures and wondering, like, yeah. So he's going to sleep in this hotel in French Glen and not pay, right? Because you're just in the lobby.
Yeah, I rolled up at like 11 o'clock. And
right.
This is when I learned that Willard existed. Willard was some guy who left early. So he skipped the Grand Depart, didn't have a tracker, and just kind of went out and did the route.
Because most people doing this, it's not a race, right? But this performance
event.
It is a race. Okay, all right. Yeah. They had GPS tracking devices so we could follow dots.
Yep.
And be really excited about who was where and all that. But this guy, Willard, no dot.
No dot. Okay. Dotless, and nobody knew he was there until, like, we caught up to him.
Oh, yeah.
And when I mean by caught up, I mean, like, we're at the base of Steen's, and he's already gone as far up as he did, which was up to one of the gorges or something.
Okay.
I don't think he went all the way up. But anyway, like, just met him in the lobby, rolled him, hey, do you work here? He's like, no.
Just a guy.
Just some guy. It's just someone on a bike, and I'm like, wait, what? And then we slowly figured it out that, oh, yeah, that's...
There you go.
We're on the same thing. Oh, neat. I'm like, well, I'm just going to sleep here, and there's a cooler with beer in it that I might have had a few of. And
there you go.
Then when I left in the morning, I left a 20 on the counter with a thank you note.
See, that's how it ought to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't ask.
Class.
But I just kind of, you know, figured, yeah, like slept inside last night and had some beers. This will work.
I'm sure they were fine with it.
Yeah, Tom was great.
Anyone who's been to French Glen knows that that's not the sort of place where people stay up. It's like the other hotel chain says, they leave the light on for you, but that's it.
It's a party town.
I'm 20.
For the mosquitoes.
I think it was, population 12 was what the sign said. It's very, very small place.
Right, but they leave the doors unlocked, so you can do this.
Right, yeah.
I think they kind of expect it, kind of like Oregon just okayed pumping your own gas in those counties.
What?
Like when there's not that many people.
Because there's not enough
people
there.
Oh, because there's nobody around.
Yeah, the gas station it's in, it has to sleep sometime.
Huh. Right.
And someone's going to show up at 3 a.m. So, yeah. But, yes, that's the between certain hours. But, anyways, French Glen, small town, right there next to Steens Mountain. I mean, and when I say next to, I mean, like, what, 25 miles from the peak or something?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, at the right before the climb starts. So,
right.
Which is, that's about a 25-mile climb or something.
Okay. Before we get too much farther into this, people are going to be curious. People are already yelling at their podcast. What kind of bikes were you riding?
I took my road bike.
Okay.
The Soma. Pink one that's here?
Not this pink one.
No.
I took my Soma Smoothie ES.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
The ES is for extra smooth.
There we go.
I took my track bike. No, I didn't.
I don't know. It wouldn't have surprised me, though. I heard rumors that, like, is DBR doing it on a single gear, on a fixie? And I'm like, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I mean, the bike I did end up taking is pretty much the exact same paint job, which is just, it's fun because I can ride them interchangeably in town and people won't realize. But no, it's a bike I built up based on a Fairdale Weekender frame, 1x11 drivetrain, about 40C wheels and dyno hub, blah, 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 blah.
Okay, there we go. So
I want to know what tires you had.
They're the Arisen Gravel Plus. I'm not sure.
Gravel Plus.
This is actually, I don't think they're actually for sale in North America yet.
Uh-huh.
I kind of am.
Interesting insider deal.
I'm kind of testing them.
There you go.
But they're really good tires.
Indeed you did.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't have a single mechanical until Oregon City.
Really?
Less than 12 miles to go.
I was going to say, Oregon City is near the end of the whole thing.
Yeah,
and that was, what was your mechanical issue?
Lost half my pressure in the front tire. Put a CO2 canister in. That was enough to get home.
Mile 200 or 960 or something like that.
Yeah. It was. We're basically done and just, come on, really?
Yeah. Wait, so how big were these? How wide were these tires?
You said 42?
Okay, 40. There we go. So fairly wide, but not fat.
Yeah, like that's inch and a half. So smaller than your typical mountain bike tire, bigger than your typical kind of, your commuters are going to be on 32s usually.
Just enough. That's what I roll on. Just enough to kind of cover some of that gravel stuff that you had to be
That's
in.
What I had.
Yeah, okay.
I had the Panaracer T-Serve 32.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Yeah, that's what...
Very nice tire.
I'm curious because I would love to do that route myself someday with the bike that I have, but I've always questioned my abilities on 32s.
Doable with a 32. If I can do it on a 32, anybody can do it on a 32.
Okay, there we go.
However, there is a quality of life issue. That comes up after several hours of bouncing around on washboard.
Were you having trouble, like, was it up, down, or flat that was giving you issues? Like, was it rear tire spinning when you're trying to go up, or just swimming a little bit?
Is it just
when
general comfort?
It was general comfort. Okay. I never really lost traction. I never really felt like I was mm-hmm. about to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
But, the washboard definitely
washboard
really
sucks.
Punishing. Washboard does suck, and... You know, I'll just never forget some of the deepest conversations of my life happened in that washboard section, and they would go something like this. Washboard sucks. Yeah, dude, washboard sucks.
We're the same. So we're talking about washboard gravel, in which
road itself is
undulating.
Like a washboard.
Like an old-fashioned washboard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without the jug band.
I had a water bottle with a Camelback bite valve, or just a Camelback valve on my bars, and I hit a section coming off of Heart Mountain, like dropping down into Plush. That was, it just coming down, hit it hard enough, couldn't avoid it, was going fast enough. Water was literally squirting out of this camelback valve.
Being driven out of the container.
Yeah, just because, you know, the bike was shaking so violently.
Right.
It was,
if I'm not mistaken, washboard occurs because car or vehicle tires kind of push.
No, it's on
I think
purpose.
In this case it was wind.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was engineered. I thought it was on purpose, just
to keep speeds down.
Yeah, to keep speeds down.
No, they have the rumble strips. I don't think washboard is.
Mother up.
I mean, there's nobody out there. They're not trying to slow anybody down.
Right.
Well, I mean, especially because all the locals I heard about. In about six different little tiny towns, I heard people talking about how washboarded it was. Just go faster. It'll smooth it out.
Right, right.
Which isn't an option for us.
So wherever it comes from, it's rough. It's hard to drive over. It's hard to bike over.
It's less than ideal.
Yeah. Okay.
No, it just happens from being driven over.
Okay. Apparently. So like tires are pushing stuff back in little mounds, and the more people drive over this without the road being graded by some sort of machine.
Wind.
It could also be wind. I could see it being a number of different factors working together.
You know, like if you picture the sand on a beach.
Uh-huh.
Like and little how sand dunes. It does that little.
Yeah.
Anyway, it sucked.
Yes. It's not comfortable to ride over for sure. Yeah. You mentioned Plush, right? Plush is the town under Heart Mountain, which is south of everything.
Yeah, it's when you turn west after Steens, you kind of hit this. You're going through some rangeland, and there's just like cows in the road or cattle in the road.
Yeah,
and then it turns to gravel, and then then there's nothing, and then there's like a little tourist shack, and then there's nothing, and then you're going uphill into a headwind, and you don't realize that it's uphill yet. And then you finally come over this thing and drop down into a town, and it's still fucking 15 miles. Then there's the place that sells chicken and like beer,
and that's Plush. Yes.
Okay, and you have a pink koozie from Plush, Oregon.
I bought a pink koozie. I'm holding it in my hand. It says a small, quiet drinking town with a cattle problem. And in Nathan's ride with GPS route of this race, he had very thoughtfully marked every little spot where we might get water.
Ah, there we go.
Every little spot where we might be able to get food.
That's useful.
And I had noticed in my exhaustive studying of the map ahead of time that Plush had a little link in the little box. So I clicked on the link, and it was the Yelp review.
Ooh.
Of the city?
The store.
Oh.
Okay.
In Plush, Oregon, which apparently 5 stars for the cheeseburgers.
Yeah.
And so that was part of my whole mental preparation.
I've heard everyone talk about the cheeseburgers. Mike Hernandez's friend Blaze came out. He's like, don't get the cheeseburger. It sucks. So I got the chicken. And apparently, I think he was just a little hangry about it.
Okay.
Oh, it was such a good cheeseburger. I'm sorry to tell you. You have to do it again next year so you can have a cheeseburger.
One of these years.
There we go.
But I was more excited for the Icy Hot at that point. That was the day that my Achilles really fucking started to... not really wanting to put up with it anymore.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some of the physical problems, some of the maladies. Maria, what did you experience?
Oh, I had a renovation happening in my downstairs area.
Is that right? You were redoing your home.
It's really like tearing out the basement and starting from scratch.
Okay, right. This is a large remodel. Okay.
The very worst of
Did you hire a bonded contractor? Because really, you have to go with a bonded contractor.
I might need a team.
In a union.
Brought to you by Gold Bond.
So the very worst day in that department for me was Crater Lake.
Okay.
Which we approached from the south, climbing for a very long time just to get to the rim.
It's the steepest approaching from the south, is it not?
Yes, I believe it is. And then we did the eastern rim, so we are in a counterclockwise direction.
The long way around.
And I would to just tell everybody who can hear my voice right now, do not ever ride Crater Lake in a counterclockwise direction.
Ooh, yeah.
It is wrong and bad, and I would say only fuck.
It's the big, the big climbs suck, but then you get the big descents, and that's neat.
When I was there, I did it counterclockwise. So I think I understand what you're talking about.
I thought we did it counterclockwise.
Yes, yes. Also, when you and I were there, yes, most definitely.
Because of my basement remodel that was happening, it really sucked the fun out of any sort of descent, any time the saddle sucked.
Uh-huh.
When
Your
we finally got to Diamond Lake, which is the neighboring campground, I don't know, 15, 20 miles north of Crater Lake.
Full of mosquitoes.
No.
What?
It wasn't that bad this year.
Oh.
Some nice breeze comes off that lake.
That's good.
So we found a little store. We were so happy to find the little store to get beer. And I didn't realize this until I went back out to my bike to stash the beer. But I apparently went into the store the whole time. I was crying, which naturally. And
so is that bad?
About the renovation.
About the renovation. Yeah. Okay. I was really unhappy with the way it was turning out. And I had my hand down my pants, down my shorts, and just holding myself because I was in that much pain.
Wow.
And didn't even realize that. Went into the store, had the whole transaction, and went out.
The whole
with
time.
A pocketed
and
hand.
Then I looked down. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm a person.
Oh.
Is barely on the edge of human at this point.
So that was really one of my physical challenges.
Yeah.
And then I also had, I thought it was an Achilles, but I've since been to the doctor in a rental car.
Yes.
And it's a neighboring tendon.
Okay.
But I developed a tendonitis in the ankle. And I feel like I'm hearing that, a lot of that from our co-racers.
Yeah, there were, I think, four or five of us who had you know, just various issues with ankle tendons, just sucking. It's overuse and whatever.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it's the washboard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's when it, that's when it got really angry at me, was because when I descended Steen's, like I wasn't holding anything back. that was the time I saw you on the course.
Yeah, we have to talk about that, but go on. I just didn't
really use the brakes. I had a truck pull over to let me pass.
Oh,
on the way down the mountain, because I was just so ready to be off that fucking mountain. Because it took me like 10 hours to get up there.
Yes.
It was not a good day for me. Well, it was a great day, but it was not a, you know, fast day anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, then what coming down was, and just, but yeah, that definitely kicked the shit out. Because you stand on your pedals, you got, you know, tension and everything, and then it's just getting the shit smashed out of it.
By this washboard.
Yep.
And you two saw each other on that stretch.
Yeah, I passed.
Not just us two.
Yeah.
Like nine of the...
Everybody behind me.
Racers.
Except for James Folsom was already in the campsite, so I didn't see him when I went by. He was already in, like, tucked into Fish Lake campsite halfway down the mountain or up the mountain from his perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, past y'all and Mike Hernandez, saw Renee at the bottom, caught up to the recumbent guys.
Yeah.
Oh, there was dudes on recumbents doing this.
Two guys on recumbents.
I would like to hear what they thought of the washboard.
they were behind me when I started and then had come up the mountain and turned around before getting all the way up. And so that's when I caught up to them. I was coming up behind them a quarter mile back and I saw one of them tip over.
Oh,
like, and he's fine. Just getting up. It's been a long shitty day. And you get up to, 7,500 feet. That's like, okay, well, I'm going to push my bike up because that way I don't have a risk of falling over and I'm going the same, 3 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And they had dinner reservations back at the French Glen Hotel.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's the trick to any sort of competitive thing. You have to have dinner reservations.
Well, apparently
you joke, but reservations actually made it possible for me.
Oh, sure. Sure.
Oh, like it gave you that goal to shoot for, or?
Well, I don't want to cut David off. We'll get back to that.
I just showed up and hi, can I have beer? He's like, yeah, you want dinner? I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Beer.
He's like, yeah, I got one more seat. Okay, I'm going to get a beer. I'm going to sit on the porch for a minute. And then, of course, my sister saw my dot and called them to make sure they were going to feed me because she Googled it and realized it was family style, reservation only dinner. And
she called them to make sure you would get fed. Yeah.
That is a very caring system.
It is.
I mean, it's self-supported, Becca. It's going to be fine. But at the same point, I'm on my third piece of meatloaf.
right.
But yeah, the guy walks out, which one of you is David? He's looking at the three of us who are obviously dusty, idiot, sweaty bikers. yeah, it's me. I was like, yep, me and food. Tell her it's okay.
All right. I'm in.
That's so sweet.
Very cool.
But yeah, you had a thing?
First, just to revisit all running into each other on Steen's in some capacity or another.
Everyone kind of, that was the linchpin.
It was really cool because that's around the halfway point-ish of the race.
Uh-huh.
And 450 or so by the time you get back down.
People are way ahead of me and the couple of friends that I'm riding with. But because it's such an epic climb, it ends up, and it's an out and back.
Yeah.
Everybody ends up grouping together. And so, you know, there's a little posse of us all standing there. Some are on our way up, some on our way down. And, you know, you just run into your friends in the middle of nowhere during this giant race.
It's when everyone sees each other.
But yeah, so the thing I wanted to say about reservations.
Oh, yeah.
My approach to this event was just complete OCD style.
Uh-huh.
So
the opposite of Anthony Bourdain.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure, like, from just talking to you before the race, you planned everything. I planned nothing.
Which is really cool.
I'm going to go this far and I'm going to sleep. And I'm like, I'm just going to not.
It shows you that different approaches work for different people.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Or don't, as the case may be.
Or don't. But I think, like, the real key is to honor your own style. Mm-hmm. You know, figure out what works for you and do it. You need, like, fat only, tires, do it.
Yes.
You need,
because only David Robinson can ride like David Robinson, and only Maria Shure can ride like Maria.
Exactly.
Shure.
If I tried to emulate his way, it would have been a disaster. If he tried to emulate my way, he probably would have been bored stiff. So.
Although both of you can wear pink.
It's true.
That's true.
My pink shorts died on day one.
I'm sorry
about
that.
You had to mail them home.
I did.
That's sad.
I mailed the shorts that I found 3 years ago on the side of the hiking trail home from Burns because the seat ripped out, and I haven't fixed them yet. But,
well, at least you still have them.
Yeah, we'll fix them.
Storied pants, yeah.
Or whatever. But I had a thing and I was gone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But reservations.
Did we finish? So yeah. What I have here in front of me,
ooh,
and our listening audience can't see it, is my book.
Uh-huh.
So I got this little blank booklet, and I put some of my favorite stickers on it.
Yeah.
And then I started a day plan inside.
There we go.
And so my idea of racing the Steens Mazama 1000 is that each day is its own day ride. And so in the booklet, you open up and day one, and it lists the destination, which in my case was Detroit Lake, the distance, the elevation gain, and then I wrote the cues.
There we go.
And I actually reserved a campsite at Santam Flats, and then I even said site number 25 on the left.
There we go. So, so you have a very clear idea of where you're ending up.
Exactly, because by the end of the day, I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be possibly crying, maybe walking around with my hand down my shorts.
You never know.
Who knows what might happen. And so each day I was able to turn the page and put that in a little baggie on top of my basket and just live in that day.
And that kept you anchored kind of to a plan that helped you complete the whole thing.
Oh my gosh, it helped so much. And, you know, I had a few nights that the accommodations, the overnight, wasn't planned.
Uh-huh.
It was going to be primitive camping or whatever came up, but I had a vague distance. But most of the nights I had a campsite reserved, or I even had this amazing Airbnb near Lakeview.
Yeah.
That it's just one of my favorite places in the world. I can't wait to go back there. It was a little cabin. And
is this the first time staying at this Airbnb? Or
oh, yeah. I never heard of it before. Okay.
That was right before the gravel bit, or right.
Yeah, was maybe 5 miles before that little gravel shortcut down into Lakeview. And I knew I would want, after the several nights out camping and climbing the Steens, I knew I'd want a shower and a bed.
The comforts of home.
But not much money. And so we pull in. I'm riding with James Folsom and Justin Bangerell, who are like just two of the funnest characters in the world to ride with. And there's a little note on the door, and we open it up, and we're standing outside and reading the note, and we get to the bottom, and it says there's beer in the fridge.
Whoa.
And at that point, the note is thrown on the ground, and we're like, what are we doing out here?
Beer!
We tear in. And so, you know, the point is that my style was to have every day planned so that I didn't do any thinking, and I certainly push myself physically.
Yeah.
But I knew, I feel like I would have quit if I had done it in David's style or a lot of the other
racers. You didn't
want
to push yourself mentally. Like, that was an adventure for you, David, but not necessarily for you, Maria.
Yeah, I mean, I had my crying moment on the thing,
right,
too.
Right, we should talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I was at 8,500 feet or something on Steens and just, like, just not being able to pedal up anything anymore. And just like, I've been going at it for way too long. I know that everyone's behind me and catching up. And even though I'm not racing them, I'm racing me. It's, the fact just the idea of, oh shit, they're catching up, like, is annoying.
And it's like, cause you want to be competitive.
Right. Well, and also like everyone who was in front of me, Vince, the guy who ended up winning, he had made it like most of the way, about to 8,500 feet, and then turned around and found out later it's because it was, you know, snow lightning.
What?
Snow lightning. I mean, that's a pretty good reason to turn around. I think that's, you get a pass on that one.
Yeah.
Nathan just kind of relegated himself and said, I'm over it, because, you know, awesome. Willard had made it most of the way up and wasn't really, you know, on the tracking any or whatever.
Right.
So like, but I was like, so no one in front of me has done this. I'm losing my shit. And like said, fuck it. I drank my Summit beer. And then kind of like, I'm just texting someone. I was texting my sister. This is why she was calling the place to make sure they fed me.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. I'm not going to finish. I'm going to turn around. And then she's like, what? Are you okay? And I'll call you in a minute. And by that point, I've like lost my shit. And I'm just going, like, I'm right here. What am I going to do? Turn around? Like, what am I say? I was almost there and decided not to. And then just went up and walked most of it. And
yeah. Did the Summit beer help?
Well, I'm sure it did, but then I didn't have a beer when I got to the actual Summit.
Right.
But, you know, whatever it was, you know, you have a
it's
beer.
What you needed at the time.
Yeah. I mean, it was a way to keep from just turning around immediately, which was what gave me enough time to talk myself out of it.
There right. we go.
But, like I had officially called it and then got freaked out and said, no, fuck that, and went up anyway.
Was that called it as in, like, I'm done with this whole thing, or just, like, I'm not going to make it to the top of the mountain, I'll do the rest?
Yeah, it was just as I'm going to go back down, and then, because I was hoping to actually, like, my plan was originally, like, to do Steen's, get back for lunch at the cabin, or at the hotel, and then push on into the Antelope Refuge, or uh-huh. whatever. And that was just not going to happen at this point. And,
right.
You know, I'd assume, like, I knew that, you know, Mike Hernandez and everybody, like, you were in Burns, I think, that morning, mm-hmm. Maria, and Mike Hernandez was and Blaze were in the Narrows, like, not that far behind, and, like, they've got to be at the mountain already.
We were stunned pulling into the Narrows late in the morning and seeing Mike and Russell
yeah.
really hungover at the diner.
Yeah, they'd had a little fun there, it sounded like.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, and it's... Yeah, I mean, this was the big point where I really wished I'd had, like, a proper sleep outside kit. You know, I'm not, like, the push from French Glen over to the Plush on the other side of the Heart Mountain Refuge is the most remote part of the route. It's, like, 60 miles with nothing.
And really challenging with terrain.
It's uphill, washboard gravel, headwind, nothing. You know,
and not just no services, but like also no forest, no really
nowhere to hide from the sun at all.
No,
just
and it's nighttime and it's the high desert and it was getting down to like 45. Gets chilly out there
too. Yeah, so either way, both extremes are a little uncomfortable.
Right.
So,
and it's creepy from an animal perspective.
Sure,
like, I wouldn't want to sleep bright unprotected.
I mean,
and once again, we have the two ends of the spectrum.
Luckily, I had the excuse of just not really being able to comfortably sleep outside. But like,
right,
I would have, you know, if I had pushed in, I probably would have just like slept in like that little lean-to thing with the hey, welcome to the Heart Antelope Refuge.
Yeah,
but
that was my original plan to camp anywhere as soon as I got to the refuge.
Mm-hmm.
But it was too early; like it was still too hot. And the sun was too high. Yeah. And also we had learned about the hot springs.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
That sign. Riding by that sign.
I
almost
wish I had
broke
seen
my
that
heart.
Sign.
It was right by the headquarters. It said Hot Springs 4 and pointed that way.
It was pitch black when I went by there. I didn't see it at all.
Oh, that's right. That was your guy on a white horse thing.
Yeah, so little trail magic. I get to the headquarters, which is what they call the ranger station out there. And I mean, I've been looking at the lights for hours.
It's an old CCC bill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, from the 30s.
Yeah. New Deal shit.
And so I get out there and it feels really creepy.
Uh huh.
There's dogs barking. It's pitch black. Even with my headlight looking around, I'm, you know, and I really want water. I'm out of water and I can't. you know, Nathan has marked on the map that there's water here. I can't really find anything. I end up actually going by a sign.
It's kind of hidden, yeah.
That says, do not go past this sign. It said something like that. And I'm like, wow, hopefully I don't get shot.
Let's hope not. Well, and that's a distinct possibility because Oregon right. is that's a castle yeah. doctrine state, yes.
So, you know.
I met the caretaker. He would have given you a beer before he shot you. But beside the point.
That's good. That's good. But you don't know that.
You know,
when
I
you
didn't
get there
know that. Right. And then you add into the mix all the miles that came before, mm-hmm. all the, you know, it's almost midnight. I'm exhausted. I don't know what's happening. So I go yeah. past this headquarters area, and then I look at the Ride with GPS map again, and it shows the elevation plot, and we're about to have a giant descent.
Ooh.
And there's no way I can do it.
Uh-huh.
It's dark. I'm tired. I don't know what's going to happen. Where are the freaking
really
hot springs?
That was a really good choice in retrospect.
Descending in the dark seems dangerous.
And that was also, I mean, like, that was a descent with, like, gravel, like, deep gravel washboard and hairpins.
Yeah, that sounds dangerous.
And especially being that tired and just emotional.
I mean,
and
I did that at, like, 4 or 5 o'clock, and it wasn't fun. Well, I mean, it was, but not really.
Yeah.
Type 7 fun.
Type 1.8, yeah.
Yeah, it was both like, this is the worst, and I'm not going up anymore.
Right. Well,
so I get past this headquarter thing, but probably a mile past it, and I'm looking at the map, and I'm, you know, seeing the descent, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm too freaked out to camp out here, that animals are going to eat me or something. And so, you know, I go to my go-to coping mechanism, which is bawling like a child.
There we go.
And so I'm standing at the side just crying, just wondering what will happen next. And here's a pair of headlights. And that may not sound significant, but literally have not seen a human for 10 hours.
Right,
so,
right. And that's the one human
headlights.
In this place on Earth.
And so he pulls up. It's in a white pickup truck. And he turns the car off and jumps out and just comes right up to me. And he's like, are you okay? And I just immediately fell in love with this individual. I was like, I'm fine. Do you happen to know where the campground might be? Trying to hold back the crying. And he hears the trail magic part. He says, I'm taking you there.
Oh.
Picks up my bike, puts it in the bed of his truck. I climb in and, you know, takes me off to the hot springs. And
didn't he already know about the race too? Like, hadn't he run into like
Mike? This is the really nice thing about being at the tail end of a race like this. In that case, and several other times, people have heard about it.
Right, right.
So suddenly you're not some super weirdo, freaky person. They've already seen people. They're like, oh, you're in the race.
Yeah.
And so he was like, well, I saw the blonde girl a couple hours ago. She's ahead of you. And I'm like, oh, great. And then he's like, and then I saw another kid on his way to the hot springs, and let's go find him. So he didn't just drop me off at the hot springs. He actually circled the whole campground until we found a bike.
Ah.
And yeah, that was a very, very pleasant trail magic story. And
that's
then,
cool.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, I think it goes to show. I feel like there are multiple stories like this that people have told over the years about you go out in the country, and if you're not from the country, you don't really understand it. You're kind of like, you know, are they all gonna hate me? It turns out there's a lot of nice people out there.
I did not feel scared of people,
yeah.
or vehicles
yeah.
at all in that part of the state. I felt like, I mean, cars would stop. If they see you, they'd stop just to say hello.
Right.
Because they hadn't seen anybody else
either.
That's
what you do, yeah. Hey, a person.
And I just felt like it was all very friendly.
That's
very
cool.
Friendly people.
That's cool, yeah.
Where are y'all riding on your bicycle? That's the inflection, you know.
Classic Oregon drawl.
Just, bicycle. Yeah.
Bicycle.
That's great. Well, I would like to, we probably should wrap this up because our listeners have been with us now for nearly an hour. So,
oh,
what would you say to anyone who wants to do Steens Mazama 1000, Steens Mazama 1000, SM1K next year?
Do it. It's a big, dumb bike ride.
And would you do it again?
Yeah. I'm convinced I could do it faster.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I would do it again, but I would coax anybody, especially those of you who think, no way, that's way too much. Look at it. Just look at the map. Study it. Think about it. Maybe you can dissect it into little bite-sized bits, and maybe you can do it.
And you don't have to do 100 miles a day. you could take as long as you want.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this reminds me a little bit of the Oregon Outback, in which, you know, the Oregon Outback is not a thing. Did it happen this year? I feel like it's a thing that didn't really happen.
Officially, it's dead.
Yes.
Right, right.
The route lives on, the race is dead.
Right. So this is just one more way to see all those rural parts of Oregon that that are beautiful and worth seeing.
And we did cross the route twice, and at both places I stopped with my pink chalk.
The route of the Oregon Outback.
And I marked SM1K nice. With an arrow and OO with an arrow.
Oh, that's cool.
Signify the crossing. Of course, I was in last place, so nobody behind me got to see that.
But that's cool. I like it. Very good. Well, thank you both for sharing stories. I know there are so many more. I know, Marie, you blogged some of your stuff.
I did. BicycleKitty.com. Check me out.
Nice. Yeah. So there's some good stuff up there. And then, David, you were prolific on social media. So
I had enough people asking about how I was doing. I'm like, fuck, I'll just do it publicly. I only have to do it once.
Right. David has gone live several times. I remember while I was out in the woods myself thinking
for like the 30 seconds I had reception a day.
Exactly. Yeah. Updating people. So, yeah, both of those things are around. Thank you so much for sharing your stories. And I'm glad you're home. I'm glad you're okay. And I wish you the best of recovery continuing as your bodies continue to respond to these thousand miles.
David's done recovering. He's on to the next.
I was lost in the woods 2 days ago. it was great.
That's true.
I missed it.
That was a good one, too. I wish I could have gone. But next time.
I tweaked the route a little bit. You should go do that, but don't go do that.
Okay.
Go do that.
Thanks for having us, Sprocket Podcast.
Indeed. Welcome. You guys are the best. Do you have time to hang out with us for our news and mail?
If I can get another beer.
Sure.
Yeah, of course. You know where they are.
Where are they from?
They're from the Beer Mongers, the Southeast Division and 12th.
Oh, I love Beer
Mongers. My favorite
place
to go in and get a nice, crisp, tasty, refreshing beverage. We do have another beer. From the Beer Mongers. We got news.
Best segue ever.
What can compare with the thrill of a brand new bike? I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. I like my bike, it's fast. It circles around the city lights. Pedal just as fast as you can into the morning light. Pedal just
all right, first up, our calendar.
What's on the calendar?
Getting a little thin now.
And again, you got something? Is it in Portland? Is it somewhere else? Send us things. We'll put them on our calendar so everybody knows about them.
August 11th, the Pam Nichols Art Show at Western Bike Works in Tigard, 6 p.m.
That's right. That's this week, isn't it? No, next week.
Next week.
That's right. It's coming up soon.
Yes. August 14th, Bike Scout Scavenger Hunt.
Bike Scout.
And you know what? I'm going to open up to our listeners. Not that I'm going to take your suggestions, but I will at least take your take your suggestions into consideration.
That's the best way to ask for advice. I'm not going to listen to you, but you can tell me what you think.
Team Sincerity needs a costume.
Ooh, a theme. Yes.
We need a theme. Okay. So those of you listening before August 14th, let us know.
Okay. Maria, is Messerschmitt coming back for Bike Scout this year?
No, Messerschmitt has retired.
Okay. Oh. Are you playing with another team?
I have to work.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So okay. Sorry.
Well, I wish you luck on
it's
next.
It's really fun. Do Bike Scout, people.
Yeah.
It's super fun.
That's right. So that means someone could take the name Team Messerschmitt if they want. No.
No.
Don't steal it. That's hers.
They can for a small fee.
Okay, there we go.
That jersey's up in the rafters.
The appropriate royalties, yeah.
And then lastly, September 17th. Tour of Brews, and
what is this?
I don't have a link for it
yet. Tell me about it.
I only know that that Bikes for Humanity is helping organize it.
They're good people.
Yes, and so
they make bikes.
Andrew, possibly, if
for
you're
humanity.
Listening,
yeah.
Get in contact with us. I want to put more information on our site for that.
There we go. Well, we like bikes and we like beer, and so this seems like a thing that's kind of right up our alley, and it might be up your alley too. September 17th.
Did you hear about the new Suffer Hill Fest thing that they're doing?
No. Ooh.
I don't know what the name is anymore.
Giro PDX.
It's got some weird pseudo European name.
Yeah, it's Giro PDX.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it had way more words than that.
It's Giro PDX blah 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 something else.
That's how I was going to approximate it. But apparently they're officially allowed to put the
Giro de Portland.
The drawn lions and stuff on the course.
Oh, right. So if you want another excuse to climb hills in a group of people, There are now green lions on the pavement.
Right.
Right. So this is happening. So we'll put that on the calendar. Yeah. Thank you. Thank
August
you.
August 21st.
There we go. Yes, are either it. Of you doing this?
Probably.
Nice.
I'm going
to. Okay.
We might as well bust that Team DFL again.
There we go.
There we go.
Fucking last. Yes. Yes. I know that also comes to, I think.
I don't know if we'll find as many beer stops on this one as we did on the last
possible.
One.
That's possible, yeah. There couldn't be as many, I don't think.
I don't think it is possible.
That's also PCT Days is happening at Cascade Locks that weekend, and since now I'm a PCT guy, I feel like I have an obligation to be there. I might bike out to Cascade Locks instead. So we'll see. I need to deliberate, but... Both are good things.
Yeah, the peril of having too much cool stuff to do.
I know. It's the worst. well, what do we have in our headlines, Aaron? What's in the
I've
news?
I've only got one piece of news to share.
What could it possibly be?
I alluded to it earlier from bikeportland.org. Portlander competing in self-supported bike race across Europe.
Nathan fucking Jones.
Portlander Nathan.
He's everywhere.
Jones, who some of you might recall as the energy and spirit behind many Sprocket podcast episodes.
That's right.
And the Thursday Night Ride. Yeah. Is about to tackle a ride of a completely different magnitude, an 18,000 journey around the 18,000 I think he missed
Yeah, I think Jonathan confused Nathan's adventure from next year, which is...
Oh, right. The Around the World race. Yeah.
Around the World. He's doing the Transcontinental, which is across Europe.
Oh, Jonathan.
Right.
Yes. I'm sure there will be a correction.
Jones is currently in Belgium, where riders are about to start to help fund his four-month journey. Jones has set up a GoFundMe campaign where he's already raised nearly $4,000 from 58 people.
Right.
So go fund him.
The cool thing about Nathan Jones is that he is the reason he has the GoFundMe is because a lot of people will be sponsored by some sort of company or something.
Right.
He is the only one I know of that's doing something like this that's not sponsored by anybody.
Yeah.
He's basically doing this for fun because fun. So... yeah, I like that idea.
Because bikes, people.
Exactly. Come on, ride your bike. So it's it's a good thing. And if you want to help him out, he's kind of bankrolling this himself. But if you want to help him find vegan food in Europe,
there it is.
Then yes, you can.
Oh look, there's Brock Dittus. I'm not gonna.
That's from the Sprocket podcast. Oh yeah, I like that photo he put up of him with the glasses on because I don't see him in glasses much anymore.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he looks professorial there.
When he's getting get that look on his face, the bike riding look of
right,
like, just
bliss,
but like just totally blissed out, but also just no emotion whatsoever.
Yeah. Right.
At the exact same time.
So we don't have blissed out expressions on our faces, but you know what we do have?
I could guess.
Hepatitis.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
Not hepatitis.
Way better than that.
Don't know where they
from Mike. Currently in Gold Beach, says, made it to Gold Beach, finished an epic first tour ever. What a birthday gift for me. 67 years, first tour. I loved it.
Yes, which means you can bicycle tour no matter how old you are.
That's right.
Can I say, is that offensive to say it that way? What I mean is, I'm glad he's doing it.
Well, Vince, the guy who won Steen's Mazama, was 67.
There we go. You can do anything.
Really?
Yeah.
At 67.
Or something, like, definitely it started with a 6. Like,
totally,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. He and did it in 5 days and something.
16?
No, like, yeah, no, like, just, yeah, like I mean, yeah, yeah. fucking lost his sleeping bag halfway through the reserve.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Whoa!
Like, I mean, sleeping in bathrooms and shit, like, really just, like, scumming it up really hard. It was awesome.
Bathrooms are a great place to sleep.
And
if you're
that's
cold.
That's how you win, people.
I met
sleep in a bathroom.
I met Nathan Jones in a bathroom at one point. That's a whole different story.
Hey, man, come on in.
Yeah. Well, we were neighbors, but anyway.
Okay, right.
Yeah, but ride bikes.
Also, from Stitch... From our Stitcher site, which we haven't visited in a while, these are three-year-old reviews here that we've never read.
Yeah, they're vintage. They've been aged to perfection.
From Zoe, always unique, Brock and Aaron bring me an enjoyable and entertaining episode every week, quote, nestled in the heart of Cascadia and from Portland. They bring very atypical guests and topics to us, down to earth, slightly offbeat, always having a good time. These guys are who I'd like to have as neighbors. Looking forward to listening. Never disappointed.
Oh, thanks, Zoe. If you're still listening 3 years later, I hope so.
And I'm thinking this is from Tim O and not Timo.
Oh, well.
But
yeah,
I guess. Love the Sprocket. I look forward to the Sprocket podcast every week on Stitcher. I can listen whenever I'm on my iPhone the moment it's uploaded.
That's right.
Kudos,
you can listen
guys.
Anywhere, anytime. I'm glad to hear that.
And then lastly, an iTunes review. Great podcast. This is from the great
R-E-L-Y-T.
Yeah, anyways. Always love listening to this while out riding. Makes the miles fly by. Guys are entertaining and always have interesting topics. Keep it up, guys.
Thank you. That was a review sent to us on my birthday of July 16th.
Yes.
So thank you so much.
Happy birthday, Brock.
Yeah, that's right. I try and just bring that up as many times as I can. Before we close out our mail, this is just mail I sent to you personally, but have you seen this? This thing that I sent
you? Oh, yeah. I wasn't sure if I should include that or not.
The Dawn of Division is listed as someone playing music at Al's Den downtown Portland. It's I think he wants to fight you.
I don't know how you got that
impression.
The
King of Division and the Dawn of Division. There can only be one. That's what I want to say.
Isn't like Dawn lower in the regal hierarchy?
I mean, kind of. Yeah. I mean, the Dawn sort of implies like he's setting up like a black market. And, you know, I guess maybe I should, you know, quash it?
As the King of Division, I think you should go to his show and heckle him.
And just heckle the show.
I think you get to hit him up for protection money.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. If you want to continue your operation
be
under
a shame.
My...
It's a nice illegal business you got here. It'd be a shame if something happened to it.
Well, thank you again, Maria Scher. It's bicyclekitty.com.
Yes.
And people can find you and your exploits there.
Actually, I don't even know if I have that domain anymore.
Oh,
but
yeah?
If you Google Bicycle Kitty, magical...
Bicyclekitty.blogspot, is that
you'll
still
either
going?
Read my blog or you'll buy a Hello Kitty bike.
That's right. And not, both are good things, right?
Yeah, it's Bicycle Kitty at Blogspot.
Okay, oh, there we go.
That.
BicycleKitty.blogspot.com. We'll put the link up on our website. David, how do people follow you?
Just
they have to ride really fast.
Not even that fast. Just don't stop.
You have to not sleep.
For a while anyway. I'm David Barstow Robinson.
All right, there we go. And Bike Scum.
Yeah.
You can find that carved into bathrooms everywhere.
Yeah, I haven't carved it in a while. But yeah, no, it's I keep meaning to turn that into a real thing. I think we actually do own the domain now, but
there you
no
go.
One's ever bothered to like build a site for it.
Nice. There we go. Well, very good. So Bike Scum, it's out there.
Yeah.
Very good.
Right,
all right, well,
walls.
Let's close this thing out.
All right.
Our website is thesprocketpodcast.com.
Email to thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com.
Call or text to 503-847-9774.
Twitter at Sprocket Podcast.
Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for our theme music.
Herb Bird for our headline sounder.
Marcus Norman for graphic design.
And thanks to sustaining donors Logan Smith, Johnny K, Shadowfoot,
Katharina Millum, Guard Wayne, Norman, Doug Robertson,
Ethan Georgie, Justin Martin, Eric Iverson,
Cameron Lane, Richard Bozenski, Tim Mooney,
Orange and Purple, Glenn Kubish, Matt Kelly,
Jim Gooden, Eric Weiss, Doug Cohen Miller,
Todd Parker, Scott McAllister, Morgan, Chris Gonzalez,
Dan Gebhardt, Zoe Campagna, Andy Brunner,
Dave Knows, Chris Smith, Christy Kaster,
Caleb Jenkins, and JP Cooley, Peanut Butter Jar Matt,
Patrick Archain, Sebastian Puhl, Marco Lowe,
Rich Otterstrom, Andrew Alderson, Drew the Welder,
Anna Krista, John Wasserman,
Andre Johnson, Shelley and Troy, the King of Division,
Josh Zissen, Richard G. Guthrie Straw,
Christopher Barnett, Brandon Shelby, Campsite,
Aaron Green, Mac Nurse, David, Catherine Minchin,
Nathan Fulton, Chris Ross, and Roy Close,
Michael Flournoy, Jeremy Kitchen.
Now brush your teeth
and go to bed.
That's right.
And
goodbye, everybody.
Ride some bikes.
Yeah, that's right.
Have some fun.
Uh-huh.